But the work of our hands also gives us many benefits. That's why God gives us these things. And remember, when's the last time you looked at it and said, "Thank you, Lord, that I can open and close it"? Every morning. I do that quite often myself. Especially every time I think about little William, you know, when he couldn't for 7 or 8 years. He was all withered down like that and drawn up, and he couldn't even move it. And then God, that 10 years ago, when I had the privilege to lay hands on him, the Lord instantly healed that little hand and made that hand perfect. You know, and like I say, the next day when I went by there, I went by to see him. You see, that was back in the days when I was just beginning to see a few miracles. And when you see a man that's got a withered hand and then all of a sudden right in front of your eyes it opens and becomes perfect, you're almost thinking, "Lord, is this real?" You know, when you first see the Lord start doing those things, it's like living in a dream world, I don't mind telling you. So I wanted to go by and see William the next day. When I walked up to his little humble apartment, knocked on the door, he said, "Come in." He didn't even come to the door. He said, "It ain't locked. Come in." I walked in there. He sat right in the middle of the bed saying, "Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you." I thought to myself, when's the last time I did that? Lord, thank you. I hadn't done it. Never. Isn't that amazing? I'd used that thing all those years and had never thanked him that I had the privilege to open and close it. You know? When's the last time you said, "Lord, thank you that those feet work. Thank you, Lord, that my knees are well and are strong and I can walk and I can run. Lord, thank you that I can see. Thank you that I can talk. Lord, I want to thank you for this wonderful," it might not hurt to say, "for this beautiful, healthy, intelligent body that you've given me to live in while I'm here." You know? Begin to see yourself like he sees you. You think he sees you as beautiful, healthy, and intelligent? Of course. He didn't make no junk. Absolutely. So begin to say, "Lord, thank you for this beautiful, healthy, intelligent body that you've given me. Glorify him and what he's done for you." Now then, next verses there. Fools think they need no advice. I know none of y'all have ever been fools. Now, I've got a feeling we've all been a fool. Because, especially when we were younger, all of us know when we was 18, we knew everything. Nobody could tell us anything. Didn't you know everything when you was 18? Almost, huh? I knew I did. I mean, I knew I was invincible, immortal, and all that stuff when I was 18. You too, Deborah? I see her over shaking her head. Yeah, that's her. But that's the way a lot of us are. We thought we were untouchable. We thought we couldn't die. You know, we'd never done nothing wrong. And we were doing everything wrong. Fools think they need no advice. You know, just like my dad when he comes and said, "Son, you need to stop driving this car fast." You know, well, I finally listened. But it wasn't right up front. You know, I had to be the dummy and pay a lot of high-powered tickets and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, back in those days when I worked 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, I made $54 a week. You know, that's what I made, $54 a week. You know, and so that's a dollar an hour. And then when I got that last ticket, when they charged me $300 because I was driving too fast... That's a stiff one, wouldn't it, James?
Back then, yes. Well,
even today. I mean, $300 would be bad today. But back then, and they didn't stop there. They took my driver's license for 6 months to go with it, too. So now I got to walk.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. They got to do something to get my attention. You're probably right, Joseph. That's probably mine. Probably saved somebody else's life as well as mine. Who was behind all of that? God was, guaranteed. He said, "My little son down there, he's wicked. He's disobedient. I will get his attention. I will fine him 2 months worth of work, and I will take his driver's license away from him, and he will not be able to drive. And I'll see if that will humble him. And if it don't, I'll fine him $600 and take it away from him for another 2 years. And then if that don't work, I'll put him in jail. And we'll see how far I have to go to humble him." Well, do you know, some of us have to go the ultimate, you know it? And some never get there. Some never learn. Thank you, Jesus, that I finally learned. Because when I learned, like I said, as soon as I stopped driving fast, I stopped getting tickets. I thought all the police just hated me.
Yeah, I always said that the fools learn from their own mistakes.
Amen.
The wise people learn from the fools.
Okay, that's one way. Oh, good. But fools think they need no advice, but the wise at least listen to others. So when we become wise, we will at least start listening. When I finally start listening to Dad, that's when I begin to get a little bit of wisdom. At first I thought, you know, Dad, he's just an old fogey. He don't know nothing. But Dad had lived twice as long as I had. He knew a whole lot more than I did. Like that old story says, you never know how smart your parents are. When you get to 20, you know they don't know nothing. But it's amazing how brilliant they get from 20 to 25. When you get 25, you think, wow, Dad really knew some stuff. I was even amazed at my own son the other day. He come to me, and he was trying to work on the tractor, and he was making all kinds of wrong things, and he tore up some stuff, took me a while to fix. I told him, I said, son, I guess we're just going to have to take this little tractor this winter, have to overhaul it. He said, Dad, when you do, give me a couple, 2 or 3 weeks heads up. I said, what for? He said, I want to help you. I said, what? You want to help me overhaul the tractor? He said, yes, Dad, I need to take advantage of this knowledge while you're still here. He said, I now realize I need to know something about vehicles. I don't want to work on my own, but he said, at least I can learn a lot of stuff that will save me time and money. And boy, can you ever. You can definitely save yourself time and money. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Somebody walks up to you and says, I don't like you. I think you're the dumbest, ugliest person I ever saw in my life. It's so easy to say, well, I don't like you either. Instead of just being quiet and say, well, I love you anyway. That's hard to do, isn't it? But the godly, we can do that, can't we? Can we or can we? Do you know what happens if you can't? You're going to be sick. Sickness and disease is going to come upon you. If you retaliate when people insult you, it's going to make you sick. It's going to shorten your life. And it's going to bring pain and suffering to your life. It will do it every time. I think about that man that I told you all about earlier, those of you that were here at first, that I worked with. Most wonderful man, but I knew he cheated on his wife. I knew his wife got into unforgiveness toward him, but I didn't know at that time that's what killed her, as a 50-something-year-old woman. But after she died, I think about the women he was married to, the women he ran around with, the things he did wrong. And today, I think about this man is in a rest home with Alzheimer's and can't do nothing. Has to be waited on hand and foot. And he and I are only just a couple of years apart. Does it pay good dividends to do it God's way? It definitely does. Walk holy in obedience to the Word. This study of the book of Proverbs has got scripture after scripture after scripture. Like Dave told me, he said, when I learned these principles, Thurman, it's not only in every chapter of the Bible, it's almost in every verse of the Bible. Isn't it? You find it all over the place when you start reading it at face value. You see, he's telling us over and over and over what to do. But a fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Is that hard to do when somebody gets right in your face? But we can do it, can't we? Yes, we can. Why? Because God told us we can. I mean, following these principles in the Word is not the easiest thing in the world, is it? It's not. I mean, somebody says, I don't never do anything wrong. Let me come and hide in your house for a little while. And let's see how long it takes you to get upset with your spouse. Do you know I ain't never seen a man and woman that didn't have a little shortcoming somewhere along the line? If you have never, if you've been married more than 10 years, well, I'll take that back, you've been married more than a year. And you ain't never had a shortcoming with your spouse, I need to talk to you because you probably obviously know something I don't. But if you've been married 10 years and never had a shortcoming, hey, you're not normal. You know that? People can do lots of wonderful things at church. They can be nice to each other and gentle and then walk out the door and the spouse say, "See, I told you that preacher is going to tell you what you done wrong tonight." And that starts a war. And so there's a battle between here and the house. You know that happens? That happens. That happens to lots of people. Yeah. It happens to people. Why? Because we're human. You know, I'll tell you this last little story and we're going to quit for the night. I think about when I was designing, as an architect and an engineer, I was going to design a little apartment on the back of our ministry center for Cheryl and I to live in. I thought she'd love it. I got it all designed, didn't tell her what I was doing. Then on the way home from church one night, I said, "Honey, I've designed us a little house to live in." She said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I want to build it on the back of the ministry center." She said, "What? You didn't even ask me anything about it." I said, "Well, honey, you'll love it." She said, "I can't believe you're going to build me a place to live and didn't even ask me how I wanted it." So here I was trying to do something nice, going home from church, and she got so mad at me that I had to even not talk. I went all the way home and I was just quiet because she was mad at me. She was got out of sorts with me. And then when we get to the ministry center, I'm trying to do something I thought would please her. See, that's why I say men and women don't understand each other. And so that night, I didn't know what to do. I said, "Just be quiet." And so I'm going out to unload the car. And Cheryl's in the ministry center, and she is grumbling at God. "God, this man you gave me, what am I supposed to do with him?" And you know what? Thank God that he still talks. He spoke to her in an audible voice, and he said, "Just love him."
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.